whole menagerie of things, but I'm going to try to stay with it this morning. And one of the things that the New Testament teaches us for us to be more like Christ, to be more Christ-like. Now, I don't know what that means to you. I suppose we all have different versions of what being Christ-like is. But one of the things that Christ was is humble. He had an humble spirit about him. He walked in humility in everything that he did. He projected great power by walking in humility. And most of the people in the world, if they're really quiet, people think they're weak or they're afraid of things because they don't say anything. But sometimes that's the strongest people you'll ever meet are those that are able to bridle their tongue and not get involved in the ruckus that's going on around them. Policemen, I guess Brother Earl could tell us that one of the first things a policeman has to do is keep his cool in tight situations. He has to remain calm no matter what's going on around him, if at all possible, remain calm. And as Christians, that would work for us, I think, too. Remain calm. No matter what else goes on, keep you cool. I have messed up a lot of times by not keeping my cool, to not walking in humility. But there's one thing for sure. If you're walking in Christ and you got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, when you miss the mark, you'll know it immediately. And thank God for that. We're all human. We all miss the mark at times, probably, but at least I do. But Christ was able to walk in humility in everything that he did and said. And with that, projected great power. He projected the power of God in all situations. Early on in the scriptures, it talks about humility. There's some in Deuteronomy, but the 15th chapter, I picked out one verse there. It says, Deuteronomy 15 and 15, he said, "Thou shalt remember that thou were a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee." So, I'm going to paraphrase this and put it in my country logic. Don't forget where you came from. And don't forget when we start to judge somebody else that, wait a minute, before I judge somebody else, I got to remember where I came from. Just because I've accepted the Lord don't make me better than anybody else. But I need to remember that I was in that position also. Not long ago, I needed to be redeemed. All of us have been redeemed. So we walk through this world, we find people that are redeemed. We're rubbing elbows with people that are not redeemed. But knowledge goes a long way, but humility will outdo your knowledge every time. You can impress people with your knowledge, but you can impress people with the spirit of humility that you carry every day. The way you present yourself, the way we're either accepted or rejected. People say that when you meet somebody you've never met before, that just the first few seconds probably of meeting somebody, you're already connected to that person or you're rejecting that person. You're feeling a connection. Are they friendly? Are they truthful? And automatically we start that process in our mind. So everybody's judging us according to how we are presenting ourselves, especially when you start the conversation with somebody and it happens to be something. Boy, the Lord's made a good day for us today. What a beautiful day the Lord's made. You start that line of communication, they're already wondering, what's he up to? Is he up to something? What's he going to hold on to my wallet? He's going to sell me something. But walking in humility, it carries great strength. It carries great promises. It goes on into Psalms, and there's all kinds of places in Psalms where it talks about being humility, having humility in our lives. The 9th chapter of Psalms, it says, "He forgets not the cry of the humble. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble." So when you need God, if you can humbly approach God, I believe He hears our prayers better. He sees our situation, and He wants to intervene in our situation when we're humble. I don't think a haughty spirit's going to get us very far with God. I think we ought to approach the throne of God in our time of need in a humble humility and recognize who we are and who He is. And I'm certainly nothing without Him. Psalms 10th chapter says, Lord, Thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart that Thou wilt cause Thine ear to hear. You're going to hear us, Lord, when we approach You in a humble, and you hear the desires of our heart. In Psalms 25:9 it says, the meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. So if I want to be guided by God, I need to approach Him in meekness. I need to have a meek spirit, a meek and humble spirit about me. I have no reason to be haughty about anything outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. I have nothing to boast of within myself. But I can, if I'm going to boast about anything, it's because God has reached down and touched my life at one point. And He made a tremendous change in my attitudes and everything. Everything about me changed when I became a Christian. And I'm not there yet. Don't get me wrong. I'm still on this process. Hopefully I'll be able to stand before Him someday, and He says, Thou good and faithful servant. But you know, I'm thinking about it more and more. I pulled in a parking lot yesterday, and I was going to park a car, and that Jeep, it's got a real tight turning radius, but the bumper sticks out a little bit further than it should on the front. And I pull up there, and I bump a car going into, I thought I could get by it, but I bumped that car a little bit. It didn't hurt anything, but it made me realize that, you know, I'm getting old. I've never done that before in my life. Pat thought it was kind of cute. She's going to laugh about it. Wait a minute here, don't you be laughing about this. Don't be telling everybody. So I'll go ahead and tell everybody now. But in case I'll beat her to it. But you know, I've got more of my life behind me now than I've got in front of me, according to nature. You can get 74 years, and then you look back, that's a lot of living time I've had. But then I realize I'm not as quick. Maybe not drive as good as I used to. Certainly need to watch. At least I was going real slow. But I pull up there and hit that car, and I'm thinking, do I need to be out here driving in heavy traffic in the middle of Franklin on a Saturday? Or I might need to be down there in Oak Grove somewhere on the porch. Oh, me. Life has a way of giving you some humility, don't it? So I don't have anything to boast of today, for sure. I thought I'd just tell you about that, but it happened to come to my mind. But I want to go out humble. I want to remain humble. And if I have any strength left, I want it to be in His humility that surrounds my life and it surrounds all of my friends. Let's see. I need to get back on track here. Psalm 138:6, it says, though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly. The Lord is high. My Lord is high. But I just want Him to respect me as somebody lowly. I don't want to try to climb up in society and say, hey, look at me, because that's not what I'm about. I couldn't be that if I tried. The Lord lifts up the meek in Psalm 147. In 149, I'm sure you've heard this before, He will beautify the meek with salvation. You want to earn your salvation? You really can't earn it, but you're going to possess it with meekness. You want to hold on to it with meekness. You've got to, the Lord is good, isn't He? He has beautified the meek with salvation. That's what I want from Him. Not the prowess of this life, not the fancy things of this world, not recognition of mankind, but I'd rather say that the Lord looks down with me and he sees humility and meekness. One of his servants. Proverbs is full of scriptures that talks about humility and being humble and all of that. Of course, we could stay in Proverbs all day long. But Proverbs 16 and 19, it says, better is it to be an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. So you're better off to be with, have an humble spirit. And an humble spirit projects power in our friendships. Some of the people that I have great confidence in are people that are humble. They have a humility about them that it's got to be Christ-like. You know, human nature is usually not a humble thing. Human nature wants us to get out of our place and elevate us, elevate in society. It seems like success is you got to be successful. You got to dress right. You got to talk right. You got to present yourself right. You got to drive a nice car. You got to live in a great big mansion. That's success for the world. They see success. That's not what the Bible teaches that success is. Christ came on the scene. He didn't own a mansion. He never owned anything, I don't think, of this world. Maybe a few possessions that he had. But he told us not to worry about everything. Don't seek after things that have no meaning or have no end. But stay with something that's eternal. It's more important. That's the most important thing that we can seek after is God's presence in our life. To be humble, to be a servant to other people around us, and project Christ in all that we do. If we walk every day with one thing in mind, I'm going to walk in humility today. Lord, if you'll help me, I'm going to remember before I say anything, I want it to be what you want to be said. When I need to be quiet, I want you to seal my lips. When I need to, my thoughts all day long, my thought processes, I want it to be something that's about you or something would be humility in my life and something that would be pleasing as you watch me walk day to day. It's surely an attribute that we could seek after. Very important. I think it's more important than we even know. We're told in the New Testament, in Galatians, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It says that we ought to possess these things. We ought to seek after these things. And it's in the Word of God, of course, but it's not an easy thing to think about every day. That I'm going to love. I'm going to love people. I'm going to love those that don't love me. I'm going to love people that hate me, that do me wrong. Jesus said, pray for those people that are mean to you. Pray for those people that do you wrong. To love your neighbor as yourself. That's easy to say. It's not quite that easy to do, is it? Because human nature, when somebody crosses us, the first thing we want to do is either attack them back or build a wall there, which I'm done with them. I'm not going to love them anymore because they not treated me right. Sometimes you have to put people at arm's length once in a while, but we better be careful with that also, because we can build up a wall there and that communication is forever lost. Did Christ ever, I don't know why I'm saying this morning, but did Christ ever build a wall between him and somebody he was talking to? Do you ever remember in any of Jesus' teachings where he says, I'm going to keep him at arm's length, I'm not going to speak to them anymore? Walking in humility is not easy, is it? Or maybe it's just me. Hey, I've never been big enough to fight. Never was. I had a mean spirit about me, I'd figure out a way to get back at somebody. And that was a bad, bad thing I'm ashamed of. Human nature. God's got a way of dealing with us. I don't care who you are. You need humility, the kind that Christ can give us. The Holy Spirit will pull that out of you. He won't let you be happy when you're not walking in humility. I'm not projecting anything here that's hard, but it's true. It's what we need. It's what the church needs. You know, I see Christians all day long, and there's a lot of Christians that don't have humility, I think. I think we're missing that sometimes. We think that we ought to look the part. We ought to always be the part. We ought to be that, whatever that's supposed to be. You know, as a Christian, we got to do this, we got to do that. We're good about working, aren't we? We'll show up and we'll work. We'll help somebody. We'll gather up and have a big time, have church socials and all that. And that's a good thing, too, to fellowship. But it's a one-on-one situation where we meet people every day out in the world. You don't know. You know, the thing about when we come together here at the church, we know that most of us are like believers, and we're confident that we're accustomed to being around our friends, and we kind of can relax here. And that's good. That fellowship's really important. But when you're out there in the world every day and you've never met this person before, so you don't know anything about this person. So we got to be real then, don't we? You got to be real. You got to have that humility that Christ gives us every day. Proverbs 22, it says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Life is like eternal life, he's talking about. When Jesus met the woman at the well, he told her, of course she was a Samaritan woman, you know the story, that most Jewish people didn't have anything to do with Samaritans at all. I mean, you wouldn't speak to them, you didn't. And she came to the well at a time of day when nobody else would be there for that reason, I think. But Jesus was there for a purpose. But he said, if you would have asked me, I would give you waters, eternal water, a water that would quench your thirst that you never thirst again, living water. The living water of the Holy Spirit. Said, I can't imagine what she thought, but she knew she wasn't supposed to. That here is a Jewish man speaking to her. That was one thing, and he asked her to draw up some water, and that wouldn't have ever been done. And I'm sure he had her attention by that time, but. How many times could we give somebody a drink of living water and not realizing it? If we got to humility in our spirit and in our heart like it needs to be, if we're projecting Christ in humility, what a difference it would make. I've met some people like that. I met what I would say was. What a great example of humility and humbleness and meekness in the spirit, and how you pick up on that, you recognize that pretty quickly, and what a great attribute it is to be able to be like that. I need to work on that some. Proverbs 27:2, it says, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. So I guess if we learn that, it would be a good attribute for us to have. It says in Ecclesiastes 5 and 2, it says, "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few." I have to say, oh me. Sometimes we just talk too much, don't we? I have seen some people that, I'm not saying it's bad, that's just the way a lot of people are geared, I guess, but sometimes you get in a conversation you're trapped. You're trapped by someone's words. They're not bad words. It's just the fact that there's so many words coming out of this person that you can't get away from them. You ever run into somebody like that? You can't say anything to them, and you can't get away from them either. That's Christ used a few words, I think, and his words were strong. Words were divine, of course. Isaiah 57 and 15, it says, "I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." I believe that if your spirit is contrite or it's broken, if you approach him with brokenness and an humble spirit, he's going to revive our heart. He's going to revive us and give us strength. Not only is he going to look down on hear our prayers when we pray, but it's great strength that comes from somebody that can be walking in humility, especially when you're helping someone that's down. Somebody that's down and out, and you're helping them, and you're trying to talk to them, and if you've got a contrite and humble spirit about you, it's going to build them up. It's going to help lift them up. What we should be doing every day is we see other people and meet other people. Jeremiah 45 and 5, I saw this scripture this morning pretty early, I guess it was, that seekest thou great things for thyself? And that's a question. Are you looking for great things for yourself? And it says, seek them not. Don't worry about great things for yourself, but worry about great things for other people. That's the word of God is full of good things, I'm telling you. Micah 6 and 8, it says, "What doth the Lord require of thee?" And there's several things that list there, and it finally says, "Walk humbly." Just walk humbly with thy Lord. Walk humbly with God. That's what he wants from all of us. It'll fit all of us. If you get down to Matthew, I won't read all of it, but Matthew was a Sermon on the Mount, and he gave us a lot of, he said, Matthew 5 and 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That's not blessed. That's not because you're poor, financially poor or anything, but the people that are living in humility, walking in humility, are blessed. It's blessed. You're just blessed. That's all you can say. In Matthew 18 and 2, Jesus was teaching here, and he called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." He gave us an example of what humility is. Now, if you've got grandkids, and I see quite a few older folks sitting around in here, but if you got grandkids, it's something how they're so innocent until they get a little older. But when they're just little, run around, they just like a sponge. Everything you say, they soak it up, good or bad. They'll soak it up. They'll pick up language. Somebody come in saying things, first thing you know, they'll pick up bad language. We have to correct them about things like that. But their humility, the humility that a small child, an innocent child, possesses before the world affects them that much, when they're still with just mom and dad in a closed environment, what how precious that is. And they come and get up in your lap and they look up at you. Now, anything you say, they believe. If you say there's a bear that lives on the porch, don't you go out there on the porch by yourself. That's in there. You can anything you say, they will believe. Boy, what a good time to tell them good things. What a good time to teach them things. But that's what we got to become if we're going to be suitable in God's sight. If we're going to be what we're supposed to be, he said, this is what you need to be. Become as a little child. And with all the living we've had in our life and all the things that's happened to us and it's made us who we are today, that's not easy to do, is it? To put all the world behind us and become humble as a little child. He said, if we could do that, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The greatest, you want to be greatest in God's kingdom, to possess humility and walk in humility before God. You know, the Bible, pretty plain, I think that the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. And if we'll be attentive to that, if we'll listen to him, he'll tell us what to say. And there's sometimes he says, you be quiet. Don't comment. We can override that. And we can go ahead in our anger or in our whatever, and we're going to go ahead and say it no matter what. Some people say, I know I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. That's exactly when you don't need to say it. How do I know? Experience. Because I've done it more than once. And I was always ashamed of it afterwards. Oh, me. Become as little children and we can be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. There's another place where Jesus was talking at heard the prayers of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the publican was standing off over there. And to make a long story short, the Pharisee was praying great words and to impress everybody that was listening. And when they take up the offering, they would throw their money in there and they rattle their money a lot more, make sure everybody knew that they were putting in a lot of money. And nowadays, you need to use quiet money, I think, because coins don't go very far to pay the bills, does it? So you need quiet money today, but bills, you know, large bills, everything costs so much. But they were doing that to impress the people that are around them. The Bible says don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing when it comes to giving. Certainly we're not going to take anything out of this world with us when we leave. If we could maintain humility and all that, it says a publican, when he got ready to pray, he was standing afar off. He wouldn't even come up there near where all the everybody else was. He was standing way over here out of the way. He stood there with his head down. He was smiting his chest, and his prayer was, he said he wouldn't even lift up his eyes toward heaven, so he had his head bowed down. He smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Don't you want to be exalted by God? Don't you want him to look down and say, I like his humility? He's getting the message. He's becoming more like my Christ-like son is. He's more Christ-like. That's what it takes. Romans 12 and 3, it says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." That's something to remember. In the 16th verse of that same chapter, it says, "Be not wise in your own conceits." In 1 Corinthians 1 and 28, it says, "Base things of this world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught those things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." No flesh, nothing from the flesh can glory in God's presence. 1 Corinthians 13 and 4, it says, "Charity," or love, "vaunteth not itself, it's not puffed up." So it goes into the whole rendition there of what's really important. Humility's got to be at the top, or at least close. Galatians 6 and 14, I believe Paul was writing here, and he's telling us that God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So he's saying there's nothing that I can glory in except the cross. If we're anything before the people in this community, it should be, first of all, put the Christ's presence in our life has made the biggest difference. Let's see here. I got a couple more here. Got plenty of time, I think. Colossians 3 and 12, we are to put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, humbleness of mind and meekness, humility. Let's see. James 4 and 6, it says, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." First Peter 5 and 3, I got a couple more here I want to touch on before we stop this morning. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. "Ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." And verse 6 there, it says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." That's a scripture that I had figured I'd use this morning. There's nothing like an humble spirit. I believe that Christ possessed that. And as we try to be more Christ-like, I think that's something that would do us good to remember every day. Every situation that we get into, am I going to be humble? Am I going to have the humility that Christ had? I'm talking to me this morning, and I know you folks have probably got it perfected, but I'm not there yet, so that's just what I needed. But I want to thank you for listening to me. I know it's a little short this morning, but I'll make up for it next time. I'll be a little longer probably. But anybody got a question or a comment this morning before we... Brother George, you got anything to say? Good way to put it. You know, I don't know, a lot of you guys could teach Sunday school a lot better than I could. I'd like to see Brother Earl teaching, and everybody's got a different perspective on things. It's because of our life experiences. I can't talk to you about being on drugs or being in prison. Thankfully, the Lord steered me away from that. I don't know how I missed it growing up in the late 60s and all of the things that was going on, but they're just in my circle of friends, I guess, and the people that influenced me, drugs wasn't one of them. Nowadays, it's more prevalent. Everybody, you know, it's available to everybody. It's all around our young people. They have multiple chances that they could try drugs, and these drugs are synthetic things that people create, and we didn't have any of that in us when I was growing up, but I can't relate to that, but I can relate to other things. But each person, there's something that you know about or something that you've dealt with that could help someone else. And if we walk in humility, you're going to get a chance to help somebody with your experience. And perhaps, I know that I've seen this happen, there's some people that nobody else could reach. I remember my uncle, Fred, that was such a bad alcoholic. He came out of World War II, and he was shot up, and Shell, I'm sure he had PTSD, as it is, or whatever. But I'm sure he had that, but it wasn't diagnosed back in those days. But he had a good reason to want to drown his sorrows and all that, but he was hooked really bad. But I saw a couple people that came to him and wouldn't let him alone. They just kept going back to Uncle Fred. Come on, go to church. No, I ain't no count. I won't never be no good for nobody. That was what he was thinking. And most of the church world had turned their back on him. They didn't want him to come to church. Half the time, he didn't take a bath very often, and he wasn't a pleasant person to be around, especially when he was drinking. You know, that's something, isn't it? If you see somebody that has a problem like that, a lot of the church world don't welcome them in. They're not welcome there. People that do drugs and alcoholism and all that, they're not welcome in most churches. But I hope that if somebody walks in here today in our church here, I hope that we will remember that, hey, outside of the blood of Jesus, I could be just like him or her. But people that have experienced things, you can use that experience to help somebody else in that same shape. Boy, we need Jesus, don't we? We need to have the attributes of Christ on us every day. Not for our glory, but to raise him up. I got to quit. I started again. I stopped and started again. But let's pray. Father,